Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day, I think it is 16. Nope, it is 17 today, day 17 in our Year of the Bible adventure. Day two of our trip through the book of Exodus. So Moses was called. He was called five times. He objected five times. Until finally the Lord gave him. Aaron went back to Egypt and at the Lord's command went and confronted Pharaoh. So just a couple things I want to mention about this. I guess we're on 5 through 7 today. One is that, you know, just as these things go, again, like, you know, something to think about when about, you know, not getting discouraged. So when Moses and Aaron go and speak to a Pharaoh to start with. First of all, one of the things to note is that things get worse for the people, for the Hebrew people. So Moses and Aaron are there in order to make life better, right? Because the Lord heard the cries of the people. One of the things it's worth noting is the immediate effect of this was to make life worse for the people, because it's because Moses and Aaron went there, and Pharaoh says, "Oh, you guys are trying to be lazy. No, from now on, you don't even get any straw to make your bricks." So things got worse. Now, again, you know, this is one of those things. In retrospect, can we see the contours? Sure, we can. But in the moment, can we see the contours? Absolutely not. So if you are Moses or Aaron or somebody who's just around them, you know, you might say, "Hey, Moses, why don't you get back to Midian? You have done the world is literally worse for me now that you've shown up. But the Lord had made his promise. Nonetheless, I think it's important. It's one of those things, you know, take heart. Don't get discouraged. The other thing that happens is there's the thing with the blood. This is the first of the plagues that the water of the Nile is going to turn to blood. Nobody can drink it and everything. And notice when that happened, so that was no good. But the Pharaoh's magicians were able to do the same thing through their dark arts. So it's not going to be that way that it's going to work. So again, put yourself in the shoes of Moses and Aaron or, you know, the people around them and just think, so I've made life worse. And the sign that I was supposed to show, that, you know, that you got to let God's people go is being duplicated by these Egyptian magicians. So life probably doesn't feel like it's going so well for them. The other thing I just want to mention for us is the way that in the middle of this sort of these couple chapters, there's a genealogy. And one of the things that I've talked to Year of the Bible folks about, say, "Oh, well, the names of the genealogies," and I just say, "Oh, you know, just scan them, you know, just scan them, see if you notice anything and don't worry about it." So I feel like I should say something about the genealogy that shows up there, because it's not random, right? Like, none of it's random, nor is it just an exhaustive listing of everyone, you know, involved. It's a genealogy. One of the things, and it's got multiple objectives. One of the objectives is to tie together Moses and the families that are going to follow, right? Because so you name all these people that come from Jacob, right? The 12 sons, you got the Reubens and you got all of them. Okay, so you're sort of embedding them in the sort of Jacob story, in the Israel story. And then you talk all about the genealogies that have to do with Moses and Aaron, among others. And then you notice at the end of the genealogy, it says, "And it is this Moses and Aaron, this same Moses and Aaron that went and spoke to Pharaoh." So sort of embedding them in the larger story of Israel. The other thing to note is that there's a lot of talk, again, not just a random collection of names or like even just a random collection of genealogical, you know, data, but one very much focused on the family of Levi, right? And the Levites, Aaron, even more than Moses. And there are a couple different ways that you see that. Why and why would that be? Because Aaron becomes the high priest of the tabernacle that is to come. So the genealogy is shaped around around Aaron and his descendants. So usually, you know, a genealogy, you just say the people that, that come before. But which would make sense since several generations have passed since the time of Jacob himself. But here, when it comes to Aaron, you even get a couple generations hence. It has been said, it has been suggested that that whole genealogy is all about that guy Phinehas, P-H-I-N-E-H-E-S, Phinehas, who's there, because Phinehas in the book of Numbers becomes the, he gets, shall we say, zealous in the defense of the Lord. We'll get to that in due course. Sufficient unto the day is the smiting thereof. But Phinehas is decreed by God. He says this eternal decree or this eternal priesthood. He's going to be the one who's going to be in charge of Levitical worship from here on out. So you've got sort of Jacob, the sort of, you know, at the top, and then you got the sons of Jacob. You got Levi among them, and then you break down the Levi. You got Moses and Aaron, and then you even follow Aaron a little bit more. So one of the functions of that genealogy is to sort of embed the past into the present, right? The past meaning Jacob into the present of Moses and Aaron, but also to embed that story, that Exodus story, in the tabernacle, in the worship of God that happens in the tabernacle, and that eventually in the temple. So it's been said that Phinehas is a whole, which I only mention, not that it matters. I mean, you know, it matters, but I only mention to say that, you know, those genealogies are doing work. Like, they're not just list of names. They're like particular list of names that are being written a particular way to make a particular point, right? To like achieve a particular objective. I'm not saying you got to memorize all of them. I don't memorize all of them. But there's some pretty cool stuff in there. The other cool thing that's in there is that you get Moses and Aaron's parents' names. And Moses' mom's name is Jochebed, is the first name in the Hebrew Bible that has the Yah, sort of beginning of her name, which means, which is the short for Yahweh. You know, we talk about people's names mean like God is good or whatever. She's the first one. So that's kind of cool. Kind of a cool thing to know. The other sort of that I find very interesting sort of move that's made in this series of chapters is God shows. So on the one hand, God made his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And they're the patriarchs, and you know, it was Abraham that called, absolutely, right? All that kind of stuff. So we always look back to those earlier generations, you know, Abraham, you know. So, but God says to Moses and Aaron here, I didn't tell those guys my name. I'm telling you my name. To those guys, I was the Lord. I was El Shaddai, right? But to you, I am Yahweh. And then not only to you know, Moses themselves, but that whole congregation, something new has come into being. Something new and like even better is going on with God and the people there than even happened earlier with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is just an interesting little, it's just an interesting little sort of like, it's like God's drawing attention to the fact that he's drawing even more near his people, even than he did to the patriarchs, you know? And you can imagine a situation where, I mean, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, they're, you know, there's a big deal. It's a big deal. And God is saying, but I didn't even give them my name, you know, my real name, my personal name that I'm now giving to you. So something very special is happening here. And so when God gives Moses and Aaron, sort of like renews that covenant, sort of like says again, this promise, I'm going to lead you into the land, you know, same idea, this promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not just, you know, I, God, am leading into this land, but here's something personal that you know about me, you know, this is something personal that you have of mine, right, which is my identity, my name. So that's a beautiful little thing that happens there. And, I don't know. I hope that they appreciated it. Now, tomorrow, I believe, through tomorrow or the next day, but we get all the plagues. Personally, I'm kind of glad that we get them all in one fell swoop, because, I don't know, like a couple days of plagues, 3 days of plagues would be kind of exhausting. So we'll deal with all the plagues tomorrow. But here you can see the way that God has equipped, you know, has blessed, has called, and then equipped the people, Moses and Aaron in particular, that he's going to use to do this thing, that sort of makes Israel, makes the nation who they are. This sort of central act, of the history of Israel with God. He sort of brought them in, and man, if we needed any more emphasis, you know, any more sort of underlining of the fact that they couldn't have done it themselves, right? That they couldn't have done it unless God was calling all the shots. You know, if it wasn't God who was the main character, then sort of the fact that they made life worse rather than better right away, the fact that their signs and wonders were not as sort of immediately impressive. What was one of the phrases? You know, God said, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart," and then it says something like, "And Pharaoh's heart didn't even turn." Like the blood thing, the blood and the water, or the water and the blood thing. Like, who cares? And of course, when we hear water into blood, I hope we also think a little bit about Jesus and the water from his side. But that'll be another story for another time. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading. On to the plagues. Hang in there. See you tomorrow.